The reading's from John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 13. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends.
I suppose the whole idea of making sacrifices, great or small, seems increasingly alien to our society. And looking back at my life, I realise just how many sacrifices my parents made for my sister and me. And I wish I'd appreciated them more at the time. My parents came from a generation which was very familiar with the idea of sacrifice and struggle for freedom. Anti-Semitism was actually enshrined in law in Romania in 1875, and many Jews were murdered, and in the years that followed, 250,000 of them had to leave the country. My maternal grandpa was one of them. He arrived in England, penniless, speaking no English. He set up a little business, he obtained British nationality, and he knew the cost and the price of freedom. One of my uncles was a prisoner of war in the Second World War. My father was an ambulance driver in Italy, then in North Africa, and he saw things that no one should have to see. Val's dad and uncles each served in the war, and they saw terrible things, men making great sacrifices. They were both, all three of them actually, were involved in the D-Day landings. But many of their friends didn't return. They'd sacrificed their lives for their human beings and for their country. And they weren't the only ones. In the First World War, 700,000, that's excluding the Commonwealth soldiers, 700,000 British soldiers lost their lives, and a further 382,000 in the Second World War. Hardly a family was untouched. And because soldiers tended to join local battalions, in some places an entire locality would lose all its young men. And we remember them today, and all those who've died protecting our country since then, so that we can be free. We remember things, we create memories for two reasons, probably. The first, either it's something so unbelievably terrible that it scars our memory, or that it's an amazing, heroic, indelible memory for good, tinged sometimes with sadness at the cost of that heroic act, which sometimes lives on in the scars that can't be seen. And both of those apply here, and it's important that none are forgotten. We remember what's to some a distant past, and many of you today will have had no direct experience of those years or those wars. But also we remember the recent past, where maybe more sacrifices than you think are already being forgotten. You may be surprised at the number of lives that have been given in protecting our freedom since 1945. 7,145, to be exact, British servicemen have given their lives in 28 countries since then. And we honour them by reading those countries now where more than 50 have died. And it's in chronological order from the end of the Second World War. Palestine, 754. Malaya, 1,443. Korea, 1,129. Egypt, 405. Kenya, 95. Cyprus, 358. The Arabian Peninsula, 60. Borneo, 140. Aden, 160. Northern Ireland, 1,441. Falklands, 237. Balkans, 72. Afghanistan, 453. Iraq, 178. And we think today especially of the brave servicemen and servicewomen making a sacrifice as our substitute. They did it for us in our place. And we focus on that Bible verse that we've had read for us, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. I want to extend that today as we think maybe what it is to make our life a sacrifice, a substitute for others to buy them life and freedom. David Wiles, not our David Wiles, incidentally, David Wiles, who is the chief executive of the Frontier Youth Trust, tells a story of a volunteer at a hospital. He got to know a little girl called Liz, who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her five-year-old brother, who'd miraculously survived the same disease and developed the antibodies needed to combat it. The doctor explained the situation to her younger brother, and he asked the little boy if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. And he hesitated only for a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, "Yes, if it'll save her, I'll do it." And as the transfusion progressed, he lay in bed next to his sister and smiled, as they all did, seeing the colour returning to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale, and his smile faded, and he looked up at the doctor. And he asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die straight away?" Because this little boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought the doctor was asking him to give all his blood to save her. And this little boy loved his sister. And he still went ahead. And he was willing to die for her as her substitute. And there's another sacrifice we need to remember, of someone who did indeed give all his blood for us. The amazing and the wonderful message of the Bible is that God loves you, that he came to the earth in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he died in your place and mine, shedding all his blood. And words and images, metaphors, pictures, illustrations, they can help our understanding, but they can never really describe the indescribable love of God. Jesus died for our sins. He died instead of you, and he died instead of me. And sacrifice is a word that's used many times in the Bible. The vast majority of references are in the Old Testament, and these passages which speak of sacrifice prefigure Jesus' sacrificial death for us on the cross. And in the New Testament, almost all the references are about Jesus' sacrifice. The book of Hebrews describes the death of Jesus as the one perfect sacrifice, fulfilling all the Old Testament preparation and prediction. We don't need to make a sacrifice for our sins. His sacrifice was perfect and complete. And soldiers continue to die to buy a peace that doesn't last. And Jesus' sacrifice was to buy peace for all time from a place called Calvary. And through that sacrifice, God's love and his holiness were both expressed and satisfied, so that you and I need make no more sacrifice for sin. We need only to come to Christ as our Saviour. And we honour the deaths of those who've given their lives for us with respect, with a willingness to support their families through the Royal British Legion and Help for Heroes and others as well. But how do we respond to Jesus' sacrifice? With a sacrifice of our own. Paul writes in Romans 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, because of all that Jesus has done for us through the sacrifice of himself on the cross, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And then he goes on in Romans 12:13 to encourage the sacrifice of generosity in contributing to the needs of others, and then later to share with God's people who are in need. The writer to the Hebrews says, "This sacrifice pleases God." The writer to the Hebrews also says, "Don't forget to do good and to share with others, for sacrifices, God is pleased." He reiterates that. Doing good means giving up things that are not good. J.B. Phillips' translation says, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold." Although God only asks us to give up the bad stuff in our life, sometimes it feels costly to do so because that stuff is somehow superficially attractive. But repentance is actually a very positive word. It's about turning. It's about turning from a life of slavery, a life of sin, a life of weakness, a life which is less than it's supposed to be, and embracing a life of freedom. Freedom has been bought for us on the cross, for us to embrace. So have our service people sacrificed their lives so that we can embrace freedom. Embrace freedom. So what are you going to do with your freedom? Paul goes on in Romans 12 to encourage Christians to live in harmony with each other, to be generous, to be hospitable, to be forgiving, to be empathetic, to live at peace with everybody. It's a glorious picture of the Christian family into which God calls us, beckoning us into an atmosphere of love and joy and patience and faithfulness, generosity, hospitality, blessing, rejoicing, harmony, humility, and peace, where good is not overcome by evil, but evil is overcome by good. In other words, it says in other places, we should be willing to carry our own cross, but also be prepared to carry the cross and the burden of others, as this little girl in the photo is attempting to do. And when we do this, we honour the sacrifice which has been made for us. So today we've honoured the sacrifice made by brave service people. How will we honour the eternal sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus Christ? How will we honour that? Maybe with a prayer like this. If you're willing and able, would you care to stand? And let's read it together. Lord, I'm so thankful for those who sacrificed their lives for my freedom. Today, I honor your sacrifice for me by offering you my body as a living sacrifice. I'm available to you. I give everything I have to you, my life, time, ambitions, money, plans, hopes, and desires. Help me not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I will be able to walk the rest of my life at peace with you and everyone else. Amen.